Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's my joy and delight to come to you each day by way of this radio station. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. As we've said so many times, this program is designed around you, our listener. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We'd love to have you call. We'd entertain your questions about theological, doctrinal, biblical, or political issues, social, ethical, moral issues, something that we're faced with in society today. As we face issues, let me remind us again, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on some ideological, philosophical dogma from some denomination, based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, but based on thus saith the Word of God. It is the best source book for life that we can go to seek answers and directions for our life and living. Today we're going to be talking about the need for biblical literacy, the need for biblical literacy. You say, well, what does that mean? The need to know the Word of God. And I pray that you're tuned in today. And if you're tuned in as a listener, I pray that it will be something that would encourage and challenge you to study the Word and to know the Word. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That was what he stated to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, when he said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening today and you have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, there needs to be a hunger in your life. There ought to be a desire to know the word better. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear when the scripture tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that simply means that we have the word of truth and the responsibility for interpreting and understanding and applying the word based on what God says, not based on a philosophical dogma from some denomination. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that might shock you and surprise you, when we get to heaven, they won't be in a little cubicles there with the tag over the door that says Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Episcopalian or any other denomination. We'll be in heaven because we're saved, or we won't be there. Jesus said, thy word is truth. But the serious condition in America today is that too many believers are biblically immature and are totally illiterate. The question is, do you want to know God's word? In fact, just hot off the press, an article that I believe would fit here, title of the article says, survey, many who shun church are believers. It's a survey that was done by the Pew Research Center, said the steady decline in the percentage of Americans who attend religious services is no secret, but a new survey casts light on the reason for it. Pew Research found that while 30% of those who attend church no more than a time or two a year, they're not believers, but a large share cite practical reasons. Some say they dislike the congregation. Some say they haven't found a place to worship. Others say that poor health, or they've just not had time to go to church. Further in this survey, it says, meanwhile, according to the Pew Research, those who refrain from attending religious services because they are non-believers are more likely, more highly educated, and largely male and young and are Democrats. I find that fascinating. Pew found that overall, the most common answer cited for not attending religious services, quote, I practice my faith another way, end quote. Many will say, well, I practice my faith at home, or my faith and the way I practice it is private, or you can't ask me about the way I practice my faith. This article says some 37% of those who rarely or never attend services selected it as the reason for not attending, that is, I practice my faith in other ways. About 1 in 4 simply say they've not yet found a place to worship. And about 1 in 5 say they dislike the preacher's sermons. Dr. Phelps, we got Dr. Neil Phelps on the microphone with us today. And Dr. Phelps is a professor in the Conservative Theological University, teaches Bible and theology and doctrine, be teaching a wonderful course this fall, and be teaching a seminar in the next few days. But Dr. Phelps is with us in just a moment. We're going to have some dialogue and discussion with Dr. Phelps on some of this issue. But the need to study the Bible, the need to know the truth, biblical illiteracy is a problem among Christians across denominational lines today. It's the lack of biblical knowledge that causes or allows listeners, you're listening today. Perhaps you fall into this category. Perhaps you identify with this. But it's because of biblical illiteracy, the lack of biblical knowledge, that allows so many today to say, well, I can smoke pot and I'm still saved. I can use drugs and it's still all right. Some can say, well, I embrace homosexuality and homosexual marriages, and yet I'm saved. Some will say, well, I accept and I believe the prosperity gospel is real, preacher. And I believe that if we pray right and we have enough faith, God's going to make us wealthy and wise. Some accept the prosperity gospel because of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Some reject Satan and the reality of hell because of the lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. Some live by the world standard and try to appease society because of the lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. To believe in the doctrine of demons is stated in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that many today are believing and following the doctrine of demons, false teachers, false theology, voodoo theology, and false doctrines. What is biblical? Sprinkling or immersion in water? Now, I could go on with dozens and dozens, Dr. Phelps, of the things that people are confused about and have a lack of knowledge on. But the bottom line is that it is an inability for most Christians to defend their faith once delivered to the saints. If I were to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen, who is Jesus? Is Jesus human or divine? What percentage of human, 100%, 50%, 10%? What percentage of divine would you say Jesus is? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, could he have yielded to Satan? Could he have sinned when he was tempted to do so? You'd be surprised at the answer to that question. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, very few people today, very few Christians, and the numbers getting greater and greater, understand the truth of the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, I believe that we're in a declension in America today, not just because we see fewer and fewer people in the pews and in the churches in attendance, but because we have so many, the vast number, that are illiterate to the Word of God. They do not know what the Word of God says. And this is the very reason you labor intently and intensely, week after week, year after year, in the Bible college and teaching. Dr. Phelps, tell our listeners something about what you're doing, why you're teaching, what your passion is, what you're wanting to accomplish in teaching. And then while you're talking, share briefly about your seminar that's coming up, Walk Through the Bible, that you'll be teaching on August the 17th and 18th. So I'll just turn the mic over to you and let you talk for a while.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I'm so thankful I have the wonderful opportunity to help with the training of young men and women to serve in the gospel ministry. And I believe that the answer to what you've been saying is a thorough knowledge of the Word of God. We need to know the truth. We need to know what God has told us in His book. I have in front of me a Bible, and I call it God's Book of Truth.
Amen.
There are other books out there that have some things that are true, but when we talk about truth, God has given us a book of truth. And this book is the Bible. Now, the course I'm going to be teaching in August, August the 17th and 18th, is entitled Walk Through the Bible. Now, this is going to be a very special kind of course, and I don't know that it has ever been done, but I'm going to try to accomplish what seems impossible. It'll be a study that's designed to give an overview of the many ways that Christ is mentioned in all the scriptures.
Amen.
A key word is the word testimonies. And we're going to be talking about the testimonies of God that are found in the Bible. We'll be using a textbook that's entitled What the Bible is All About by H.C. Mears. This is a wonderful book that gives us something of an overview of all the scriptures, but I'm going to narrow that down to what God has told us in His Word about His Son. It's called testimonies. For example, in the book of 1 John, his epistle, he tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. There's that key word, testified. And he goes on to say, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the testimony of God, that's God the Father, in the Word of God, gives by inspiration of the Spirit of God what we call the record that God has given of his Son. That's the Word of God. So I'm going to be centering or thinking about the theme of all the scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John 5:39. The word testimonies is just a special word in the Bible, or the verses or passages that tell us something of the promises of God concerning not only the person of Christ, but the work of Christ, his ministry, and his future millennial kingdom. For example, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8 through 14, we have a glimpse of the Lamb of God that he provided just as he promised. Abraham had asked the question, rather a question was asked of Abraham, we have the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb, and God did. So the testimonies of God found throughout the scripture will be the thesis of all of this study. As we study at this in course entitled The Walk Through the Bible, we're going to be looking at God's eternal plan. It was the Apostle Peter who said in his first chapter of his epistle, 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse number 18 and following, these words, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. God has given us the words of the scripture throughout from Genesis to the Revelation, words that tells us generally in many ways, and specifically in other ways, his eternal plan. In God's eternal plan, the Son of God was to become flesh. And that simply means that he was to take upon him the form of man. He was to be made in their likeness, yet without sin. Book of John, chapter 1, has much to say regarding that event of the coming of Christ as our Savior. John chapter 1, it begins by saying in the beginning was the Word, or that the Word was in the beginning. and how he came to live among us. And it says that the Word was God. I read in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that special vocabulary word is capitalized, W-O-R-D. And that speaks to us of the person of Jesus. Bible tells us in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, God accomplished that by what we call the virgin birth. Jesus came into our world and came to live among us to demonstrate and show, to reveal to us what God is like, and to talk to us as God's special representative to mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is doing a brief little thumbnail sketch overview of a course that he'll be teaching on August the 17th and 18th. It is a seminar. It'll be Friday night at 6:30 till 9:30. That's on the 17th of August. And then on Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock, and the seminar will conclude about 3 in the afternoon. There's 1 hour lunchtime. The university, Conservative Theological University, will provide a light lunch for that. You'll receive at your enrollment, your registration for that seminar. You'll receive a textbook. You'll receive the syllabi. You'll receive all of the lecture and the light lunch on Saturday. Total cost for the seminar is $99. And by the way, just for the cost of the material, not counting the time and so forth that goes into it, is equal to that. It's a wonderful opportunity. And it's not just for those that's enrolled as our Bible college students and the university program. You can enroll for this seminar if you're in ministry, if you're not in ministry, if you're a Sunday school teacher, deacon, if you serve the church in any fashion, or if you just say, I'm saved and I want to know the Word of God better. That's what we're talking about today, is the fact of so much biblical illiteracy among Christians. We do not know the book. We do not know the Bible. We are immature and illiterate for the most part as Christians. And Dr. Phelps, this is the reason we're so passionate at Conservative Theological University about teaching people the Word of God. We've been in ministry since 1982. We've had the privilege for some 35 plus years of training men and women in the ministry and those for ministry and those that simply want to know the Word of God better. So let me encourage you. You can call 904-262-8275. 904-262-8275. Leave your name, address, telephone number, email address, contact information. Someone will get back with you by telephone to enroll you over the telephone for this wonderful upcoming seminar. I don't know how to express any greater than just simple words of the powerful need, the great need in Christendom today, the society in which we're living in, where we see the apostasy taking place, when the churches are being emptied, when people are believing doctrines of demons. I don't know any way to express it any more poignantly, pointedly, personally, than there's a need to study the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, continue with a brief overview, and then once you've done that, we're going to talk about the fall semester and what we'll be doing in the fall for the courses that will be offered on our Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday, and Friday night classes for the fall semester. Share with our listeners a little further about what you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question to me or to Dr. Phelps, you can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Be glad to let you join in the dialogue of the discussion. Perhaps you've got a serious question about theological doctrinal teaching that you have been exposed to. Perhaps you've got a question about the reality of some of these things that we're talking about. Perhaps you've been involved in what could, for lack of a better term, be called false teaching, false theology, and you would like to have some directions, instructions on what you ought to do and what is truth. Dr. Phelps, continue with your overview for us regarding your seminar. And your seminar is entitled, Walk Through the Bible. That's August the 17th and the 18th. Tell us about that a little more.
I was talking about God's eternal plan. Peter had told us that Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for us. Now, that means that God had a plan. And God's plan is definitely going to be fulfilled. And it's being fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every plan that God has ever made that affects us and our salvation and our future, God has determined that it will be fulfilled in the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I was reading in the book of John how that the Word was made flesh. So God had this plan that Jesus was to become flesh, and He was to manifest the presence of God and the power of God and the person of God to us. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time." And as to His essence, no one has actually seen the person of God. But it says, "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." And that means that Jesus manifested to us the person and likeness of God. He told us, and He also made known to us what God is like. So in God's plan, He was to be made flesh. That means He is Emmanuel, God with us. That was promised in Old Testament times through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 7:14. And the verse goes like this: "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. So He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, another reason that we talk about the eternal plan of God is this, that Jesus would fulfill the promises that God made in the Word of God are being fulfilled and will be fulfilled, especially through the person and work of the Messiah. You see, Jesus is the Messiah, the sent one. We read in the record of John, given in chapter 1 and verse 41, concerning a man by the name of Andrew, one of the disciples that discovered Jesus. They met, and he found his brother Simon, that would be the Apostle Peter, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus then talked with Peter. And that was the beginning of something wonderful in the life of the Apostle Peter. Jesus is the Messiah, the sent one. Jesus pointed out in His ministry to and with the disciples that He was coming to be the fulfiller of the promises concerning Christ, concerning the Messiah. And here's what He said. He said to the disciples, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." And so that's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to search the Scriptures and point out how that Jesus fulfills the promises of God.
Yes, I am thankful for that. And Dr. Phelps, let me ask you a couple of questions that perhaps our listeners may be asking themselves or considering even now. Why is this seminar so vital for Christians? Why, if you were talking directly to them, they're listening by way of radio, what would you tell them? What do you say? What is so vital about this seminar? Why should every Christian listening participate in this study?
One of the reasons, of course, Dr. Youngblood, is that people need to know who Jesus is. That's number one. We need to acknowledge that He is God's beloved Son, whom He has sent. John tells us this. He says, "We have known and believed that God has sent His Son to be our Savior," or to be the Savior of the world. God sent His Son that we might live through Him. And the Bible is very clear. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see God, but the wrath of God abides on him. So it's imperative that we hear the truth of the gospel concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
So then, with that being said, Dr. Phelps, and ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the theological professors, Bible and theology professors in Conservative Theological University. What should participants in this seminar expect to learn? I like things kind of a little pointed form. One, two, three. What are the three major things that they should be expected, that they should find in this study? What can they be expected to learn?
They will learn that you can find mentions of Christ in all of the Scriptures. And we will point out throughout the Scriptures the many and marvelous ways that Christ is mentioned throughout all of the Scriptures, not just the Old Testament, but also in the New. God has given us a book about His Son so that we can believe on His Son and become the sons of God and enjoy Him forever. Jesus laid down His life for us so that we might have eternal life. He is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That took away and is to be our Savior. And then God planned to raise Him up from the dead. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. God has exalted Him at His right hand in heaven. So we think of Jesus as Lord. God has exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. But we also believe that Jesus is going to come again to receive us. He's our Redeemer. He's promised, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's going to return in glory, for He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, Bible tells us, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. That's the throne that was promised as the angel spoke with Mary. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He's going to reign upon His throne. He's the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
So that's the eternal plan of God. And we believe that we can discover those things and become a person who is mature in the faith and who can be a good testimony for Jesus and live godly in this world, realizing and knowing the wonderful truth that God has given us in the Word of God.
In other words, Dr. Phelps, what you're saying is with this seminar, one of the end results, it would assist you as a Christian, we as believers, to better defend our faith. Someone would ask a question, who is Jesus? How do we know that? It's not just a matter of, well, I think so, I believe so. It's a matter of the Word of God says so. So, Dr. Phelps, let's change gears. We've got about 2 minutes to go. Let's talk about the fall semester. Ladies and gentlemen, Conservative Theological University, all of our classes are adult classes, and they're primarily designed for those that work full-time in ministry, bivocationally, and or with full-time professional and or other jobs, and yet you want to study the Word of God. We have made it available for 35 years, and classes are Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. This semester, this fall semester, the classes start September the 4th. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Lamentation will be taught on Monday nights. Hermeneutics, that is the biblical interpretation methodology, would be taught on Tuesdays. And then cults and world religions, wonderfully challenging course, will be taught on Thursday evenings. And Christian apologetics, that word apologetics simply means not apologizing for something, but it's defending the faith. Dr. Phelps, you'll be teaching Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Lamentation. Tell our listeners very briefly, we got about a minute and a half left, what you intend to do and why this Old Testament trilogy of text is so important in today's society.
We'll be looking at the context of both Isaiah and Jeremiah and pointing out to our students the wonderful truths that we found in those books and promises that God made and predictions that not only involve the nation of Israel, but involve also us as believers.
In other words, it's relevant for today, not just looking at something historically, but it's relevant for Christians today.
Today and tomorrow,
yes.
Because many of the hopes that we have concerning the future then are based in those prophecies of Isaiah and then commented upon by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament that have to do with our future. Our future is important because that's where we're going to be.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you, if you're concerned about, interested in knowing the Bible better, if you're concerned about, interested in studying the Word of God for full-time, bivocational, or ministry just as a deacon or Sunday school teacher, call 262-8275, 262-8275, and let someone talk with you, scheduling a time that you can come in and interview for the potential of that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.